Well, the story that broke while we were on the air yesterday, in fact, almost 24 hours ago now, Colts owner Jim Irsay, and we learned since then that he is now facing 4 felony counts of possession of a controlled substance after being arrested late Sunday on suspicion of intoxicated driving. He faces a preliminary misdemeanor charge for that when he was arrested in Carmel. The 54-year-old released yesterday afternoon. Of course, that set the sports world certainly buzzing. And here in Indianapolis, it is and was big news. And joining us right now is our friend Scott Watson from Heartland Intervention to talk kind of about the personal aspect of this, the drug aspect of this. Let me first ask you, and Scott, we've had many discussions about prescription drugs, and you know, I know the Attorney General has been on this, the fact that this is really becoming a big problem. Let me ask you, though, about, let's assume that he had 4 different types of drugs on him, which would explain the 4 felony counts. Let's say he has a prescription for them, but he had them in bottles that weren't labeled. That in and of itself is a crime. Is that how you understand this?
That's how I understand it. However, that's more of a legal question than a substance abuse question.
I got you.
One of the things that we do look at, however, is if you have medication that is properly prescribed by a doctor and the prescription is still timely, and oftentimes that's defined as within the past 6 months or the past year, depending upon the medication, then it's always advised that you keep that medication in the bottle in which it was dispensed or in the container in which it was dispensed, and then you keep the label on there. And the label contains certain information. It contains the patient name, it contains the filling pharmacy, and it contains the doctor's telephone number. That's a safeguard that all of us need to keep in mind, whether or not we have a substance abuse problem or not. Those are just good guidelines to follow.
Back in 2002, he said that he had gotten hooked on, Jim Irsay, had gotten hooked on prescription pain medication and had gotten help for it. This would be a relapse if that was true back in 2002. That is not uncommon in your field, is it?
We like to say that relapse does not have to be part of the disease model of addiction. Certainly it is possible to stop and to stay stopped. However, the reality is, just like diabetics sometimes have a hard time keeping control of their blood sugar over the long course of time, it's also very common for people to battle a variety of types of substance abuse, to have slips or to have relapses. And while that is concerning and while that is certainly dangerous, both from a public and from a personal standpoint, what we really look at in the recovering community is, how do you respond to that error? How do you respond to that slip? How do you respond to that relapse? Is that something that you're able to rally right around, and so you can get back on the solution side very, very quickly?
I heard this more than once yesterday, just talking about this with others. He has $1 billion. His net worth is $1 billion. He's got everything that anyone would ever want. Why would he have to do this?
Well, I don't know Mr. Irsay at all. Obviously, he's not a client of mine, or I wouldn't be able to speak. Wouldn't be able to speak publicly at all. However, whenever we see someone that has a great deal of means, whenever we see someone that's a person of influence, we have to realize that they're human. And we have to realize that whether it be me or my neighbor or somebody that I work with, there are a variety of factors that I don't know anything about. Oftentimes we have things that I like to call take-to-the-grave secrets that tend to erode at us. There are other stressors that aren't financial and that aren't things that the general public might see. I think one of the common ones, and to some extent all of us battle this, is we're just not always comfortable in our own skin. And sometimes that gets to the point where our traditional and more healthy and more adaptive coping skills don't get the job done, and substance abuse is something that many, many people end up turning to.
The larger point is addiction is not just something for lower or middle income people, is I guess the larger point here, right? That this can strike any family and does strike families across the socioeconomic spectrum.
It is an equal opportunity offender. Black, white, rich, poor, south side, north side, regardless of your faith or lack thereof, addiction is a problem that touches every population. And the good news is there are various modalities of treatment that also are effective for every population.
Scott Watson, Heartland Intervention. As always, Scott, thanks a lot for joining us.
Steve, have a great day.
All right, you too. You can find them online, of course, as well. Heartland Intervention, 655. 655-